Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast, men. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're continuing our series talking about toxic masculinity and biblical manhood, talking today about the problem of fatherlessness and what to do about it. Growing up until my late teens, I didn't have much of a relationship with my dad until the Lord convicted me of holding a grudge against him on a cold, rainy day in 1998, my junior year in high school. My dad had come over to play golf that day, and as we're prone to do each Saturday. Instead of playing golf, though, we would go on a walk that would change our relationship forever. Now, I need to back up just a little bit. The night before, I was reading my Bible, and we read in Matthew 6, 12 through 14, and Colossians 3, 13, where the Lord says we are to forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. Otherwise, if we don't forgive, He will not forgive us. And now, to be super clear here, what we're talking about is that because the Lord first loved us, He has given us this gift of forgiveness, right? And so once we enter through the door of salvation, we are held secure, according to Romans 8:31-39, in the palm of a sovereign God of grace. So we're not talking about our security being impacted here. What Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6:12-14 is our fellowship with God being interrupted if we don't forgive. And that's what was happening for me. We're called to forgive, and I wasn't willing to forgive my dad. Ouch. And so as I read Matthew 6:12-14 and Colossians 3:13, and I'm about, let's say, 17 years old at this time. I believe that's right. This felt like a punch in the stomach by the Holy Spirit in the best sense of the word. To be clear, the Lord convicted me. I repented of bitterness and resentment towards my dad. And then we took that walk in front of my middle brother's house. I knew that the Lord had forgiven me. I told my dad about what happened the night before, and as I was sharing with my dad, the Lord was also working in his heart by the Holy Spirit, and he forgave me, and he asked for forgiveness. My story is not unlike many men's today. According to the 2017 U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, more than 1 in 4, live without a father in the home. And in addition to these stats, many fathers are absent, seemingly uncaring, and more. Now, my dad was distant, and we didn't have a real relationship until this time, until that walk that day that I just mentioned. I'm sympathetic that many men never get to know their birth fathers today, and instead are adopted by other fathers or not at all. All around us is a crisis of biblical proportions. Men of God are needed in our day. Fatherlessness is a real problem in our day, and it's causing issues that are well noted in our society, including issues with boys and girls in school, crime, prison, and more. By the grace of God, I didn't experience any problems with crime or with prison, but I experienced many challenges growing up. In high school, I gave up on school and went from being one of the top students in middle school in eighth grade to one of the worst in high school my freshman and sophomore year. And that led to all sorts of challenges my junior and senior year. Well, what changed? I was depressed and discouraged by the constant fighting of my parents. We had moved into a nice home in a middle upper class neighborhood in the greater Seattle area in a golfing community. Each night, though, I listened as my parents fought while I sat on the second floor steps of our very large home where they argued in the family room on the other side of the house. My dad decided to not stay in the same bedroom as my mom in the master bedroom. He was on the other side, and my mom was on the other side of the home. My bedroom was right down the hall from the master bedroom and with the bathroom right next to it. Instead of being with my mom at night in the same bedroom, my dad chose to sleep on the couch in the family room on the other side of the house. During high school, I would sneak out of the house either down the ladder next to the window in my room or out the sliding doors in the kitchen. Well, I thought I was being so sneaky, I thought I was getting away with it. I thought that nobody knew and I wasn't doing any drugs or anything like that. Well, guess what? Years later, I learned from my mom that she knew I was leaving at night because, well, the neighbors told her. I was shocked. She said nothing to me. I would go out and spend time with friends because I didn't want to be home. During the day, when I skipped classes, I would go to the golf course in the golfing community where we lived. And when I wasn't at the golf course, I was at church on various or at various church-related functions. At the time, I was also put on a lot of medication because my mom, the psychologist, thought I was a high risk for suicide. And looking back at my freshman and sophomore years of high school, now 20-plus years later, I didn't feel that I was a suicide risk at all. I didn't think I needed the medication at all. In fact, I haven't been on it since my junior year. But I can understand why my mom felt the need to put me on the medication. My dad, years later, told me in my 30s he never wanted me to be on medication. He thought that I lacked discipline. He wanted to help me in that area of my life. Well, thankfully, my junior year, I was taken off the medicine while living with my middle brother in his home. And within a month, my varsity golf coach came up to me and asked, "What's different about you?" I said, "Well, Jesus," but asked and said, "What do you mean?" And he told me that he had been asked by a lot of people around campus, around the high school, what was different about me. I mentioned I got off medication I was on, and he said he thought that was good for me because the changes he noticed in me and others had noticed had been very positive, and I seemed happier than I was before. Around this same time when I got off the medicine, my junior year in high school, is when I moved out of my mom's house and to my middle brother's house in Monroe, Washington. That was a hard time of life for me, but it was also good because my father and I reconnected, and the Lord reconciled us to one another. It was a time of healing in my walk with God and with my relationship with my father. Over 20-plus years later, my dad and I are still very close. We talk as much as he can, although now he has dementia, and he actually doesn't talk much now. But we had many, many years after this where we spent a lot of time talking and seeing each other in person, playing golf, having lots of conversation about life, golf, and our shared faith in Christ alone. Now, not every young man's story is like mine. I realize that. I'm so thankful for the help of many men in the church who have walked alongside of me over the years. The reality is that young men need father figures. Like I was in high school, young men need teachers, pastors, and others in the family, and their families to step up to be father-like figures in their lives. Adult men need help all across the board. And that's why I'm talking about this today. The problem of fatherlessness is a matter the church can solve by helping men grow to be men of God and help them learn to lovingly lead their families by the grace of God. That walk down the road my junior year in high school changed my life. At the time, I was bitter, I was angry, I was an unforgiving young man. Through time and a lot of the Holy Spirit massaging the gospel in my life from the Word of God deep into my heart through friends and pastors, the Lord has changed my relationship with my dad and even my mom. Instead of estrangement, there's harmony, and the fellowship between us engages at a heart level. We pray for each other and genuinely love one another as Christian son, me, and Christian dad, my dad, should. What our world needs are more men who have seen the horror of their sin and the glory of the cross. I'll never forget that walk with my dad and the many years that have come and gone since. Equally so, I don't forget the many men I have shared this story with and their responses. They're happy that my dad and I get along and that we have the relationship we do. I've even told this story at men's retreats, at men's conferences. I've spoken to men who have wondered how they can be reconciled to their parents and others. And what it takes is understanding you are a sinner in need of a Savior who is utterly sufficient. It also takes understanding who God calls you to be as a man. I'm talking today about this, not as an expert, nor as one who has all the answers to the problems between fathers and sons or answers to fatherlessness. I'm doing this episode at a more fundamental level. I'm doing this to help men be men of God. You see, we have a crisis of biblical proportions in our land, and it centers on biblical manhood. Becoming a man of God in private before the Lord matters, but so does being the same man in private before God as you are in the home, in the church, and in public. Now, we're not going to talk about everything about these topics because we could be here all day long and we could spend the rest of our lives unpacking these topics. And we do on Warriors of Grace. And some of you are going to want more, I understand. My aim isn't to say everything that could be said here today or address everything a man is to be in private, in the home, in the church, and in public. That's going to take volumes and volumes and hours and hours. What instead I'm trying to do is to provide a guide that's going to help you to grow in the grace of God in each area today and even see what the Bible calls you to and what the gospel empowers you to be as a Christian man. I must say that I don't know where you are today as a man. I know many men to whom I've taught these things to and helped over the years and even counseled. No, I'm speaking today not only as a theologian, a trained person who has actually formally studied theology and received a degree, but as a practitioner of what I write about. Over many years now, I've helped provide leadership to men's ministries and previous local churches, like in southern Idaho, at where I use the same principles that I'm talking about here today in this episode. And I even write on these things to men. And I continue to speak about these things as one who continues to be helped by the same biblical truths of my marriage, my Christian life, and my ministry. I say that for the simple reason for you to know that consistency in the Christian life is my goal for your Christian life and ministry. You may be a Christian for a long time and think, I'm all good, all's well with me. But I'm going to ask you now, how are you doing at growing in your own life truly? Are you stuck in a lifestyle that God says he doesn't want you to live in? Are you enslaved to pornography? Are you depressed? Are you full of anxiety? How do you truly deal with temptation, doubt, and more in your life? You can tell me all the right words, and I have no doubt that you know them, but saying the right words isn't the goal of the Christian life. It's not just to be a hearer, but James says to be a doer of the word of God. A doer of the word is the kind of man that I'm after in this podcast. Maybe today you've experienced the heartbreak of a father who has passed away or who was never there. Scripture has not left you alone to wonder what to do with the problem of fatherlessness, nor has God left you without hope. Psalm 68:5 declares that God is the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. God is in his holy habitation. And since God is the father of the fatherless, he is interested in those who have experienced the pain of abandonment by an earthly father. Furthermore, the Lord longs to adopt all those who have experienced the pain of an absent father and does so through the gospel. Consider the following biblical truths about God the Father. God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, orders and disposes of all things according to his purpose and grace. God the Father is the creator of all things. As the only absolute and omnipotent ruler in the universe, he is sovereign in creation and providence and redemption. As creator, he is a father to all men, but spiritual father only to Christians. He has decreed for his glory all things that come to pass. He continually upholds, directs, and governs all creatures and all events. Now, in his sovereignty, he is neither the author nor the approver of sin, nor does he abridge the accountability of moral, intelligent creatures. He has graciously chosen from eternity past those whom he have as his own. He saves from sin all those who come to Jesus, and he becomes, upon adoption, father to his own. Today you may have a father who has been hard on you or abandoned you. The pain of an absent father is genuine, it's real. Up until the day when my father and I were reconciled, around the age of 16 or 17, I knew well the pain of an absent father. And while my relationship with my father is very strong, we're still very close, even though through his dementia. That may not be so for you, I understand. The pain of life hurts. Its wounds go down deep. Even so, God the Father is a father to the fatherless. Today you can know God the Father through Christ the Son. Through Christ alone, you can find meaning for your life through the new birth. Through Christ alone, you can have a new mission and purpose, including reaching those like you who are once fatherless, but now found and known by God the Father. That is the power of God in the gospel. As a Christian, you can testify of the greatness of God because of a great God who loves to adopt adopted children. Through Christ alone, he makes abandoned children sons and daughters of God, fully loved and accepted by God the Father. So in this episode, I'm not aiming to pump you full of good theology, but aiming at your heart to help you see how doctrine relates and fuels the Christian life. See, growing up, I knew all the right answers to all sorts of Bible and theological topics. What I lacked was an application of the Word in my life. Now, even now, I continue to grow in sound doctrine and skill in applying biblical wisdom and understanding to my life. And here is the key, is understanding the difference. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. The Spirit of God helps us apply the wisdom of God from the Word of God. Wisdom comes from the Word of God, and the Spirit uses the Word of God to give us an understanding of Scripture. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word as we put the Word into our lives and our minds. Then the Spirit uses the Word to convict us, to encourage us, and even to point us to Christ alone. So I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, or even if you have one. I know that many men are out there who are utterly shattered by the devastation of absentee fathers. Many men are deeply enslaved to pornography and even enticed by the siren song of temptation on multiple fronts. We desperately need help and guidance as Christian men. So that's what I'm trying to do in this episode. Take you by the hand, help you learn that as a Christian man is not a perfect man, nor do they have it all together. Instead, the Christian man loves Jesus, loves people, loves the Lord, and is growing in the character qualities of the normal Christian life described in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. So, my hope for you is that you'll learn what it means to be a man of God. A man of God is one who supremely treasures Jesus, their spouse, if they have one, and is becoming a repentant, Jesus-loving, sin-hating, adopted child of God who loves the church and is progressing in the grace of God and availing themselves of the means of grace in the local church and outside of it. These are God-appointed means for God-appointed ends. And the end of all of our growth and all of our talk about biblical manhood isn't to improve ourselves. It's to become who we are always meant to be, men of God. God desires to change you, but he uses men to do that. God uses means for the ends of pointing to people to the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those means for his chosen ends may be this episode, maybe this series on toxic masculinity and biblical manhood. Well, wherever you are, I want to encourage you to invite a friend to join us here on Warriors of Grace. And even now, as this episode ends, I want you to stop and pause and pray and ask the Lord, what kind of man are you right now today? No matter if you're a pastor, an elder, or whatever your title, God expects men to be men of character. Well, I want to thank you, men, for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next week, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.